So I've been working on my authorization service, and it's totally sweet. It's only taken me 6 months to build it. Just 6 months. I started implementing some basic RBAC library, but that wasn't enough, obviously. So I designed relationship-based fine-grained authorization for the highest security possible. And then, to make it super fast, I used a GPU tower, running in my mom's basement, of course, connected via optic cable to bare metal server at my local esports lounge, permissions, restrictions, and admin. Nailed it.
Wait. Whatever you did sounds cool, but like, there's also another option.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with permit.io. Permit is the full-stack authorization platform created so you never have to build permissions again. Build and manage permissions for any application with policy as code, APIs, developer-friendly SDKs, and user-facing UIs. Permit is an end-to-end authorization platform built on top of open-source policy engines. It's high-performing, gets decisions in less than 10 milliseconds, and uses a hybrid approach where config is in the cloud, but data and decisions are made locally. Not only is it intuitive, it lets you implement fully functional authorization in 5 minutes, not 6 months, and in the code base you prefer. Check out the link in the show notes or go to permit.io to learn more. That's permit.io. Sign up for Permit and stop rebuilding auth.
In the beginning, when I joined Gravity, we were looking quite short-minded in terms of the roadmap. What customers needed what at what date, and we typically had monthly release cycles where we were thinking about roadmap from a month-to-month perspective. Then what we did is we started to be much more strategic. So we set out a clear company mission. And what do we want to achieve at Gravity? What do we want to bring to the table and to the world? What do we want to help companies with? And then from that, I think it was my job to extract a couple of what we call at Gravity themes. So basically high-level product direction items that can be derived from that mission statement effectively. I'm Linus Hackerson. I'm the field CTO at Gravity.
This is Code Story, a podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries.
Took 6 months moonlighting.
There's nothing at the back end.
Who share what it takes to change an industry.
I don't exactly know what
to do
next.
Took many goes to get right.
Who built the teams that have their back.
A company is its people.
The teams help each other achieve.
Most proud of our team.
Keeping scalability top of mind.
All that infrastructure was a pain.
Yes, we've been fighting it as we grow.
Total waste of time. The stories you don't read in the headlines.
It's not an easy thing to achieve, mind
you. Took it off the shelf and dusted it off and tried it again.
To ride the ups and downs of the startup life.
You need to really want
it. It's not just about technology.
All this and more on Code Story. I'm your host, Noah Laupart, and today how Linus Hackerson knows that your engineers deserve a better way to manage their API lifecycle.
This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools lack proper security, putting sensitive data at risk. With Kiteworks MFT, companies can send automated or ad hoc files in a fully integrated, highly secure manner. The solution is FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense and has been so since 2017. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. This episode is sponsored by ClearQuery. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. With Ask ClearQuery, you can find valuable insights into your data using plain English. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify your data analytics with ClearQuery. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. Linus Hackerson finds that he has been in the tech industry so long that it is difficult to separate himself from what he does professionally. But he's a family man with a 2.5-year-old son and enjoys spending time with his family and raising their kid. Outside of that, he enjoys soccer, sports, and cooking Italian food. In fact, recently he bought a pizza oven and started making his own dough and pies. Linus has been working with APIs since he started in the industry. In 2019, he was introduced to his current venture as they wanted to create an open-source API management software. After a couple of years, he partnered with the team and then eventually joined the company to build something good. This is Linus' creation story at Gravity.
Gravity provides an API platform. So most people in tech, I'm sure, are comfortable with APIs. APIs are basically the interface typically between applications and services in organizations. It's a way to communicate with different applications or communicate between devices such as mobile phones and backend services and so forth. So APIs obviously are everywhere. And with AI and machine learning and generative AI, indeed, everything that you do when you interact with something like that is obviously APIs as well. So APIs are not going away. They're here today and they're going to be even more important in the future. So what Gravity does is we basically help organizations to secure and manage and productize those APIs across the entire lifecycle. Even before you create an API, you might wonder, what API do I need to create? Do I need to involve people from the business to describe what the API is going to look like? When you have the API running and you need to secure it, you need to ensure that the right people get access to those APIs and ensure that there's no kind of malicious attempts to get access to them or attacks or anything like that. That's something you can do with Gravity. You want to monetize your APIs, making sure that you know exactly who is using them, whether that's internally or externally, whether they're using it in the way that they're contracted to or whatever it might be. That's something you can do with Gravity. You want to have business partners or your own developers or external people or maybe even public users discovering and understanding what your APIs can do and how to get access to them. That's something you can do with Gravity. So really the entire management of APIs, security, documentation, rate limiting, anything you can imagine is what organizations use Gravity for. I've been working with APIs probably since I started in technology. So I've been working for a few companies in this industry like Oracle, SnapLogic, and a few others. The first time I get to new Gravity was back in 2019 actually. So at that time, Gravity had existed for 4 years. They wanted to create an open source based API management, meaning anyone can contribute, anyone can read the source code, and it's available for free for everyone. They wanted to really democratize implementing really good API strategies. So they started creating this, and a couple of years later, after they had released the first version, myself and my manager at the time, Rory at SnapLogic, we started to form a partnership with the founders at Gravity. So that's how I got into the relationship. Then Rory became the CEO of Gravity, and later I followed.
Interesting, in the early version, you were probably exposed to it. I'm curious if either you have an understanding of that MVP story for the open source version, or can you tell me your MVP story when you started that partnership or when you stepped into the company, either one. And I'm curious about, you know, that process and what sort of tools you were using to bring things to life.
So when Gravity started, I have to admit, there wasn't necessarily a massive, we're going to do this differently, or we're attacking this market from this perspective. It was really created to build something good. How Gravity was created is maybe probably a little bit different to how you would see other companies coming to life. The first couple of customers were almost co-developing with Gravity. We started with some great relationships that came from the open source community, relationships that the founders had previously with other companies that they've been working for. The first product that Gravity created was very much inspired, I would say, by some of those early adopters. So I think it took until 2020 or 2021 even that Gravity had its first salesperson or marketing person. So it was very much created from the ground up by working with other companies to create this great product. My challenge basically was it's a product in a market that has existed for probably 15 years. API management is not something that Gravity invented in 2015. It's been around for a long time. There's a lot of big players. Basically, every hyperscaler in a market has its own API management solution that it sells. So it's something that the market understands. It's capabilities that has been around for a while. So when I came into the company, my challenge was almost as a startup in this company, which is like, how do we go to market differently? How do we make noise? How do we approach this, let's say, quite traditional problem in quite a few unique ways?
So let's stay in that time frame for a minute. You're trying to set yourself apart and make that noise. And through that process, I'm sure you had to start somewhere. And in doing that, you had to make some decisions on how you were going to approach that problem. Tell me about some of those you had to make. And as far as, you know, like, we're only going to focus on this direction or we're going to take this approach, and how you coped with those decisions.
So I took over the product organization back in August of 2021. So the first 30 or 40 customers adopting Gravity, they very much set the roadmap for what Gravity was going to do in the next couple of months. To really set us apart, to really give the tools to our marketing team, helping analysts understand who Gravity is if they're not familiar with Gravity and how it sets us apart, is to really invest as much time as we possibly can from an engineering perspective into things that are differentiating Gravity. So what that meant is, for a period of time, we had to be a little bit more restrictive and instead be a bit bold and say, you know, this is what we believe in 2, 3, 4 years, the API management market is going to demand for modern API platforms. We came up with a mission and vision at Gravity that we wanted to deliver on upon the next 2 years. So the sacrifice, of course, that we had to make is, for some customers, say, your feature request or where you want the platform to go might not be 100% aligned to where we are going. That is obviously a challenge in itself in terms of working with customers to ensuring that we're doing the right thing. We might not go in and build exactly what you need in the next month, but this is where Gravity is going, and hopefully it's also where you're seeing your company grow into effectively. There are always going to be exceptions to that, and I'm sure every product leader in the industry faces the same problem. What happens when you have a large opportunity, a big deal that is waiting on capabilities that might not be perfectly aligned with your direction, your long-term differentiation and market approach? And that's where we've also had to make those decisions sometimes to say, hey, this deal is very strategic to the company. We have to go and deliver upon this, even though it's going to be meaning asking things for engineering team that might not be exactly what I've been on stage presented about that we were going to build, basically. So there's always going to be those kind of trade-offs and stuff like that. But I think we've done a pretty good job here at Gravity to really focus on what we think is visionary and long-term investments rather than going and take those kind of early quick wins, if you will.
This episode is sponsored by Kiteworks. Legacy managed file transfer tools are dated and lack the security that today's remote workforce demands. Companies that continue relying on outdated technology put their sensitive data at risk. And that's where Kiteworks comes in. Kiteworks MFT is absolutely the most secure MFT on the market today. It has been FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. Through FedRAMP, Kiteworks' level of security compliance provides a fast route to CMMC compliance, saving customers time, effort, and money. Kiteworks MFT makes it easy for users to send automated or ad hoc files via fully integrated shared folders and email. Administrators can manage policies in a unified console and create custom integrations using their API. Did we mention it's secure? The level of security with Kiteworks' solution is rare to find. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started. That's KiteWorks.com. This episode is sponsored by Cachefly. The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where Cachefly comes in. Cachefly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, Cachefly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only Cachefly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, Code Story listeners can get a 5 terabyte CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cachefly.com/codestory. That's cachefly.com/codestory. So moving forward then, I'm curious if what you said just now is going to frame your answer, but I'm curious about how from that point the product was progressed and matured. And I think to wrap that in a box a little bit, what I'm looking for is how you built your roadmap or how you build your roadmap and what sort of criteria you use to decide, okay, this is the next most important thing to build or to address with Gravity.
In the beginning, when I joined Gravity, we were looking quite short-minded in terms of the roadmap. What customers needed what at what date, and we typically had monthly release cycles where we were thinking about roadmap from a month-to-month perspective. Then what we did is we started to be much more strategic So we set out a clear company mission. And what do we want to achieve at Gravity? What do we want to bring to the table and to the world? What do we want to help companies with? And then from that, I think it was my job to extract a couple of what we call at Gravity themes. So basically high-level product direction items that can be derived from that mission statement effectively, but still open enough so that potentially different product managers will be able to interpret that in different ways, and that we would be able to quickly, potentially if we wanted to, pivot a little bit in terms of our roadmap based on market changes, but still be true to that mission statement. So we set that another level, with the first one being our company goal and mission statement, and the second one being the roadmap themes or the product strategy themes. Then from that, we worked backwards with the product managers and CTO and stuff like that to ensure that we delivered a roadmap that could be connected to one of those three themes effectively. It's always going to be a case where you cannot go and build everything and say that every single feature that we're doing is true to our mission statement, right? So there's always going to be a balance. So we did work on some kind of percentages to see what portion of our engineering time is actually spent doing things that are not aligned to our company mission. And then we try to reduce that as much as technically possible.
Okay, so then in that explanation, I hear you saying we a lot. Tell me about your team. Tell me about how individually and you as a company go about building your team, and what do you look for in those people to indicate that they're the winning horses to join you?
So first of all, I think obviously our culture is very much set from the top, if you will, with our CEO. So our CEO of Gravity, Rory, he is someone that first of all has an opinion on product strategy and where the market is going. Our CEO has always been very much part of the table, together with myself and the founder CTO of Gravity, to set that high level strategy, which has been great because it means that both from a founder perspective, someone owning the engineering and delivery side of the business, myself in my role, someone that tries to, you know, both work internally and externally, evangelizing what we're going to do, as well as our CEO being 100% aligned on where we're going, has really helped, I think, us in not only determining what team should be in place, but also ensuring that everyone in the organization are completely aligned where we're going. There's a couple of things that you would be seeing in most employees at Gravity, and one of them is a hungerness to win and an eagerness to learn. In Gravity, if you cut across the entire organization, you would see a lot of people in leadership roles that might not have had leadership roles before. You would see a lot of people that have been promoted into managers that might not have had managerial experience before. So things like experience and having done this road before in terms of a startup or went from a Series A to an IPO, that has not necessarily been the primary thing that we have looked at when we've hired people. We've looked at how much excited are these people about building something and how much do they want to win. That's been very effective in some ways because it meant that we've been able to be very responsive moving people around in the organization.
This episode is sponsored by CashFly. The web is a competitive place, and if your site delivers its content pixelated, slow, or not at all, well, then you lose. But that's where CashFly comes in. CashFly delivers rich media content up to 159% faster than other major CDNs. Through ultra-low latency streaming, lightning-fast gaming, and optimized mobile content, the company offers a variety of benefits. For over 20 years, CashFly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. While competitors call themselves fast or use cute animal names, only CashFly holds the record of being the fastest and serves customers like Adobe, the NFL, or Roblox, where content is created by users and must be delivered in real time. For the first time ever, Code Story listeners can get a 5 TB CDN for free. Yep, you heard that right, free. Learn more at cashfly.com/codestory. That's CACHEFLY.com/codestory. Hello, welcome to the Data Analytics Club. Do you know the password? No, didn't know there was one. Do you know how to code? No. Do you know how to query data? Like, ask a question? I guess not. I see. Then you can't be in this club. Sorry. Goodbye. Don't be left out of the Analytics Club. ClearQuery is the analytics for humans platform. With their full suite of features, you can go from data ingestion to automated insights seamlessly. ClearQuery provides you with the information you need without requiring you to do the heavy lifting. Their Ask Clear Query feature allows you to ask questions in plain English, helping you find relationships and connections in your data that may have previously gone unnoticed. You can even visualize your data with presentation mode, taking your data storytelling to the next level. Pricing is based on storage, not licenses, and that ensures that you get the most bang for your buck. Don't miss the opportunity to simplify data analytics, your data analytics, with Clear Query. Get started today at clearquery.io/codestory. So let's move forward into scalability. And I'm curious about this. Obviously, you know, scale is important, especially in the type of product you're building. But is there any interesting areas where you've had to fight this as you've grown, or has it been built for scale since day one, or maybe even with just scale in mind?
As a business, we're extremely mature from a process and data and structure perspective. We're extremely data-driven. Every single detail of the organization has a data point and an objective and different red, amber, green metrics associated with that to understand, are we moving in the right direction and what can we do to address and course correct. And that's across the entire business. And every single employee at Gravity have access to the same data that our investors have access to effectively. It's all on dashboard, it's all real time, and it drives a lot of what Gravity do. Now, if you build an organization and your staff around traits like hunger, eagerness to learn, and all those sort of traits, at some point, obviously, it's difficult to find the talent at scale. By the end of 2022, I think we were looking to be at 200 people at Gravity. That didn't really happen. I think we were quite lucky because obviously a lot of vendors in the space as its own have had to let people go because they scaled too quickly. Gravity never had to do that. And I think one of the reasons for that is we've been quite considerate about hiring, but we've also, because of our very high standards, sometimes haven't scaled as quickly as we have had intended. Because the difficulty of finding people at scale with those traits that we're requiring here at Gravity.
So as you step out on the balcony and you look across all that you've built at Gravity, what are you most proud of?
Gravity, when it was created by the four founders, it was built as an extremely competent product. If we would do an apple-to-apple comparison to any of our competitors, and that's obviously something that analysts like Gartner does, we stand out extremely well for a company of our age and of our kind of revenue size and number of employees. I've been very blessed to be able to stand on a very strong foundation that in the beginning, I obviously spoke about that we had to make almost a sacrifice to not listen as much to our customers necessarily in a period of time to ensure that we invested as much as possible as something that would be differentiating and set us apart from our competitors years to come. Now, that sacrifice might not have been as big as it would have, shouldn't we have had a very stable and very fully fleshed platform already. So I've been able to stand on a very strong foundation, and I think my job has very much tried to have us enabling our go-to-market teams as much as possible with differentiating messaging and capabilities at Gravity. So what we've done over the last 2.5 years is building what we call an event-native API management. And that has helped us, for example, to get into the magic quadrant of Gartner for API management as a visionary, and has given us a lot of brand recognition and a lot of advantages when it comes to solving pains that other API management vendors cannot solve.
Let's flip the script a little bit. Tell me about a mistake you made and how you and your team responded to it.
When I joined Gravity, I was brought into a manager position. It was the first time I was in a manager position. As part of hiring and growing my organization, I originally grew my organization a little bit too quickly. I think I was a little bit too naive. I didn't have the right structure, occurrence of meetings, a structure and process of how to go and run different parts of my organization and help my managers be as effective as they should. So I think that's something that I look back at and I say, okay, I probably should have ensured I got a very good structure in place before I started scaling my organization. We've also made, I wouldn't say mistake necessarily, but we've made some hard decisions sometimes where we've said, okay, as part of a particular opportunity, as part of a particular deal we've had with a customer, we will have to go deliver a couple of features that might not be aligned to our product strategy. And that's something that obviously has to be explained internally. Why are we drifting from our strategy during this particular period of time? It's always something that is difficult to make. But if I look at one mistake I've made, it's definitely not having a proper structure and a proper cadence in my organization before scaling it up effectively.
So this will be fun. And you mentioned, you know, a bit of the quadrant that you're in, the technology that you built to get you into that quadrant. And I'm curious about stories there that might affect this. But tell me what the future looks like for the product and for your team.
Organizations have had problems in managing APIs for a long time. When I say APIs, traditionally we talk about things like REST APIs, SOAP APIs, but even GraphQL APIs. Probably the most common ways of creating interfaces between applications today. Quite a few vendors have been addressing this in the market over the last 15 or so years. So it's something that the market understands. There's a very mature analyst community around this. Customers know what you talk about when you talk about APIs and API management. But what we've seen over the last few years is organizations starting to require more real-time decision-making. So what they do is they start looking at event-driven architectures and start implementing systems that help them become what you call event-driven, being able to decouple systems together, move from pull-based to push-based architectures, and they typically start implementing things like Kafka, RabbitMQ, AMQP, MQTT, Solus, and other type of event broker technologies. And they start to have not only REST APIs and SOAP APIs in the organization, but maybe WebSocket APIs, webhooks, Kafka, MQTT, and so forth. Those organizations start facing the same problems as organizations have faced for a long time with REST APIs and SOAP APIs, which is, how do I document them in a unified way? How do I give my partners and developers discoverability and documentation understanding on top of those new APIs? How do I secure them? Because with REST and SOAP, security has matured very much over many years. And API security, while it's still a very much talked about subject, is also something that there's a lot of best practices and what you should be doing and not be doing when it comes to securing those services. But that is not as mature in the event-driven space. And those challenges start to creep up when you have partners that want access to your real-time event APIs, for example. And that goes for entire lifecycle of the governance for your APIs. Not only security discovery, but also things like standards, typical traffic shaping elements like maybe rate limiting or transforming data that moves in those APIs. And there just hasn't been unified tooling to address all of those APIs in the same place. And that's what 2.5 years ago we coined as event native here at Gravity. Basically saying that we believe as a vendor that there should be tooling out there for organizations to tackle those problems from designing, securing, consuming, monitoring, analyzing, productizing APIs, regardless of what APIs it is. And that's what we've really built out over these last 2.5 years, seeing a lot of success. We've helped a lot of customers to secure and expose and even make money from their event-driven investments by securing and documenting them in the same tools as they do with their traditional APIs. And that's what we're going even farther in the future. Now, this is not our new market, API management. It's been around for a long time. And one of the challenges that Gravity has faced and is facing more and more is that there might already be legacy or existing vendors that have solved these traditional problems in there. And while a customer might look at Gravity for the next generation capabilities and also address these asynchronous and event-driven challenges that they may have, they might not be able or willing to, or there might be different teams at organization outside of the central team that might still need to use this other tooling. So at Gravity, we're working on this concept called federation. In Gravity, it doesn't need to run on our Gravity gateway. It can run on third-party systems, but Gravity will be the central point for discovery, subscription management, and maybe even analytics for all the different APIs that may run in your organization, even though Gravity is not responsible of actually running the data portion of those APIs. So that means that Gravity would be supporting Amazon, Azure, Google, Apigee, MuleSoft, and other vendors in the markets, APIs in our platform, in our developer portal. Not only doing that for the gateways and APIs, we're also doing it for event brokers. So if you have made an investment in something like a Confluent for Kafka or maybe Solus or other large event broker and event management systems, Gravity should be able to pick out those events, bring them into our developer portal for unified discovery, governance, and subscription management. So that's something that we're very excited about for the future. We also look at AI very closely and how it can help customers achieve more and be more secure and build things faster. We look at AI from a consumer perspective. We mean about the personas in the API ecosystem that needs to get access to data. They want to understand what data exists, what can I do with that data, what data fields, what data types, what security is involved, and how do I get access to that data? And can I go and build something as quickly as possible, and what APIs and what data do I need to build that? So we want to make that experience much faster for those consumers to get the APIs that they need and to get it in the way they want it, in their languages or whatever it might be, as quickly as physically possible. Now, for an API provider, accelerating that and even having the consumers automatically requesting or even creating the APIs on your behalf potentially opens up for a lot of ways to move quicker, reduce your ownership costs, and also bring new products to market quicker. And then we also look at it from a slightly less revolutionary perspective, which is how can we accelerate the API providers that create the services with AI-based tooling. For example, to use prompts to let them orchestrate their APIs or any rules on the APIs as quickly as possible. We also are working on really cool things to automatically build out API documentation based on the traffic using AI. So if you're an organization that might not yet have open API documentation that is readily available for your consumers to understand what APIs and what those APIs look like, Gravity can automatically generate documentation for your APIs based on the actual traffic that we are observing that runs through our gateway. And using generative AI, we also give examples and context to those APIs.
Linus, let's switch to you. Who influences the way that you work? Name a person or many persons or something you look up to and why.
Might sound a bit cheesy, but the CEO of Gravity, Rory, is someone that I've obviously worked for since kind of 2019. I really enjoy working in fast-paced organizations where there's a lot of excitement to win and to be successful. And people that kind of share that same mentality is very inspiring to me. Rory, our current CEO, is someone that not only very well understands the market and how to operate a business, but can also be very in-depth with basically any department in the organization. Really understands what to do if we are not getting the right leads potentially, what to do if we need to help close an opportunity that we worked on, what to do if we're leaning between two features that we should develop or whatever technology that might be underpinning that. So I think this kind of cross-functionalism is something that really is something that I'm striving to do as well, to really be part of a lot of things that is happening in an organization to be as effective as possible to help the company move forward. And the kind of hunger and a passion to win is something that I really look up to in someone like a Rory. And I think it's something that is a lot of people in Gravity that shares that, especially our founders as well. I think you don't get to this kind of stage of a company without having a leadership and a founder base that is very passionate and doesn't mind rolling up the sleeves and get to work effectively, regardless of the size of the company.
Linus, last question. So you're getting on a plane and you're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who's built the next big thing. They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world and can't wait to show it off to you right there on the plane. What advice do you give that person, having been a part of Gravity since the early days?
Try to explain it from an existing market perspective. What pain that your product solves can't you solve with existing tooling? Why is the existing tooling not able to solve that? Because that helps put some type of segment on that for the listener. Sometimes it's difficult for me when I look at a product website or a pitch deck or something like that. I struggle to categorize where this particular product is playing. Who is it competing with? Might not be that your product will have any competitors because it's so great, but what's the closest thing you can come to a competitor? What's the closest thing that exists in market today? Whether or not your product is going to play there, but what is the closest one so that I can get some relevance? I think that's one important thing to keep in mind when you're creating the next big thing, to look at what is the closest thing to a category that exists today, because that's going to help you to contextualize that to whoever you're presenting to investors or to your customers, etc. Because they're always going to ask for that kind of contextual point. What is the closest thing that exists today with this? So obviously, if you're lucky enough to have a revolutionary ID in an existing market, that helps dramatically, because not only you're going to have to explain your product, but if you also have to go and explain the category that your product is in, and that doesn't exist yet, and you have to build that category out, it's going to require much more thinking, much more money to build that marketing and an awareness machine. And the other thing I would say, start with the product. I was very lucky with Gravity to join a company that had an amazing product. It just lacked that kind of shell around it when it comes to a website, documentation, go-to-market execution, sales, all that. And it's much easier to build a go-to-market machine on an amazing product than to build an amazing product that has received funding based on its shell. So that would probably be my two biggest pieces of advice.
Both fantastic pieces of advice. Well, Linus, thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for telling the creation story of Gravity.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
And this concludes another chapter of Code Story. Code Story is hosted and produced by Noah Laphart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.